each one this morning. I do want to take time, first of all, to say thank you for the offering and your support and how you care for us, and we do appreciate that. The sermon this morning, I don't know if y'all think back yet, last Sunday, Junior was speaking, and as he was talking, there was something I knew. I pretty much had an idea what I was going to be talking about, or at least I was moving that direction. And titles are probably one of my hardest things. I hate titles, and half the time I don't put one on it. When I was to Indiana, and they were talking about, you know, preparing your sermon, and they're like, well, don't waste a lot of time on the title. And I was like, good, because I don't have a good time with titles. But as I was sitting there, and Junior made a comment, and the title popped in my head, and I pulled out a piece of paper, and I wrote down the title, and I was like, yeah, I got the title. I was like, this should be easy now. And I found that it took probably longer than normal sometimes, than it does normally sometimes, to for everything to come together. But as he was talking, he made the comment, as he was talking to Caitlin and to Brooklyn and to Kendall, and he made the comment that while they will be baptized, doesn't mean that all the struggles are going to go away, and that they will face some struggles and hard times as life goes on, and yet they can look back to this point in time and know that they made this decision and stand upon that decision and move forward. And what I am looking, or what I was looking at talking about, is going to come out of Mark 4. So if you want to turn your Bibles there this morning, we'll be reading out of Mark 4. But the title for my message today is When the Storm Rages. And Junior didn't say, if you meet hard times or if you have struggles, but he said, when you do. And we're pretty much promised that we will have trials as we go through life. And if you look that up in Scripture, you'll find somewhere around 100 verses in the Bible that talks about when you go through trials and facing them. And we'll get into that a little bit more later. Mark 4, and I believe I'm going to start at verse 36 for now. Start at 36 and we'll go to the end. We'll go back up and read a little bit more ahead of that, that will kind of set where we're at. But let's start out with verse 36. And Jesus was speaking to the crowd, and then as they finished speaking to the crowd, it said, on that day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said one to another, who then is this that even the wind and the waves and the sea obey him? Now, if you'll back up in that same chapter to the very first part of the chapter, to verse 1, he was talking about the parable of the sower. And it says, and again he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land, and he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teachings he said to them, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And the other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And he said, who has ears to hear? Let him hear. And a little bit later, when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables, and he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. And he said to them, Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. The other ones are the ones sown among thorns. They are also who hear the word, but the cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches and the desire for things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. We're going to stop there. And the goal this morning, as we look into our focus is basically going to be on the last part of that. But as we read the parable of the sower, we see that, as Jesus explained to the disciples, that trials, tribulations, and cares of the world, we will face those things in this life. Trials will come. But the goal this morning is that as we walk by faith and place our trust in God, that we will draw, that we will be able to cross the sea, and that we will be able to place our trust in God. In verse 37, as we read there, there was a great windstorm. Now, if you were to look up that windstorm in the Greek, if you were to look up that word storm, the Greek word for that is lilaps, not lilacs. Lilacs are flowers. This is lilaps. First of all, I wrote down lilacs, and I was like, I'm going to be wrong here. But it's lilaps, and the meaning of it is a whirlwind or tempest coming out of nowhere. And then the word right ahead of that is great, which the Greek word for that is megas, and it is exceedingly great, large, loud, or mighty. The Sea of Galilee was not a huge lake. It was not a huge, not huge at all. Probably about the widest part was somewhere around 13 to 15 miles. So anybody that's going south, you know, from about here to Wagner is about the size of it. And generally, you could have gotten in and sailed across the lake in probably about 2 hours is what they would estimate that you would be able to get across this lake. However, on a part of the lake around the mountains, there would be this cold air that could come off the mountains and move down into the lower parts of the sea. And as that came down, it could happen today, and it might not happen for weeks, and it might go a year. It would not happen again for a long time. But this wind could move down, and it could create this whirlwind, this storm that popped up on this lake as they were sailing out across it. No one could control when the wind came. They couldn't control how big it was, how long it lasted. And that sounds like some storms and trials in our lives. They're going to happen. We're going to have trials. We're going to have some storms. We don't control how big they are. We don't control how long they will last. And they can hit at any time. In verse 17 and 18, when Jesus was talking about the parable of the sower, he said, tribulations will come, and at this time some of those will fall away. We're promised that tribulations and trials will come. We can listen to, here's some other words, some other scriptures. In John 16:33, he said, I have said these things to you, that in me you have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. 1 Peter 4:12 says, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. James 1, 2 and 4 says, Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And Romans 8:35 asks this question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? We will face trials, we will face troubles. Life is somewhat like sailing across the sea. As we sail across, we will face some storms. The next one I have is, what is our response in face of the storm, in face of trials? Verse 38 to 40. But he was in the stern and asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Now I wonder, I think any one of us would have probably had a little bit of fear. In the Matthew account, it says that if you were to turn back there in Matthew 8, it says that it was covered or it was swamped. The water was coming in. It looked like if something didn't happen, the boat was going down. But there was a different fear. Again, if you were to look up these two, there's two words, fear. There's fearful and great fear. And if you were to look those up in the Strong's Concordance, again, they were just a little bit different than what we might think of fear. In verse 40, when he said, why are you so fearful? The Greek word is dileos and means timid or faithless. And in verse 41, that fear changed when it says they feared exceedingly. And that Greek word is phobeo, to frighten, to be alarmed, to the point of terror or reverence. While the disciples had a legitimate fear, as I think most of us would, Jesus was talking about something a little different to them. If you look in verse 38, what they said when they woke him, they said, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? If you were to look at where these miracles fall in the line of the miracles that Jesus did, he did 37 miracles. This is number 12 out of 37. So if you were to base that, it would be about a third of the way through his ministry, roughly, when this happening took place. And yet, in an instant, in hard times, they questioned Jesus on whether he cares. Jesus' question to them directed here more towards their faithlessness or their unbelief than it was towards the fear of the storm. How quick are you and I, like the disciples? What's your response? What's my response in hard times? I think most of us have been there. We've asked the question, why God? Why me? Why this? Or maybe we've said, it's not fair. Or sometimes come to the conclusion that God doesn't hear me because of all this that's happening and he doesn't seem to answer my prayer. We must walk by promise and not by circumstance. Our tendency is to look at the circumstance, and soon the conclusion becomes the same as the disciples, that God doesn't care. But in these times, we must stand upon the promise of God. If you look, when the disciples were to get into the boat, Jesus In one scripture, it says, let us go to the other side. If you look back in the account of in Matthew 8, it says that Jesus commanded them to go to the other side. When God gives us a plan, when God tells us what to do, He has a plan and a way that it will happen. And I think of the disciples as they're rowing the boat across or as they're sailing. This was their expertise. So they knew how to sail a boat. And I don't think they went and woke Jesus up at the first wave that splashed over. But they also knew when they weren't going to be able to do anything and it looked hopeless. Now, I don't know if you noticed it in that same reading when they got into the boat in verse 36. It says they took him into the boat just as he was, and there were other boats with him. And that kind of, as I read that, it kind of jumped out that their boat was not the only boat that was going across this lake. There were other boats there as well. Now, I don't know. Maybe their boat being loaded, maybe the disciples, their boat being loaded bigger, maybe it was slower, maybe the other ones were beat to the other side before the storm came. I don't know. We don't know what happened with those other boats. But we do know that the disciples, Jesus was in the boat of the disciples. And when they couldn't perform any longer, when they were about to sink, they were able to call on Jesus. The disciples had Jesus in their boat. And when they called on him, Jesus stopped the storm. The storm calmed. And I like to think that the other boats were around as well, and they benefited from the disciples calling on Jesus. Disciples had to call on Jesus to be saved. And while we may live in a world where there was sin all around us, people can also benefit from you and my life by us calling on Jesus. Two things: when God asks us to go, He already has a plan and a way laid out to get there. And when we are in God's will, we have Jesus in our boat to go through the storms of life. Now, in those 100 verses that talk about trials that I talked about a little bit earlier, in just about every one of those verses, talked along with the fact that we will face trials or that we will go through trials, there's also just about every one of those verses has a promise as well that as we go through trials, we are reminded again of God's promise and His faithfulness, and we are not going through these trials alone. In Romans 5, verse 3 to 6, it says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into His grace, in which we stand and we rejoice in the hope and glory of God. Not only that, but not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. For while we were still weak at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. We understand that as we go through trials, they produce character, endurance, and hope. And yet God is right there making a way for us. In James 1, it says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God promises to those who love him. These trials are to perfect you and I and to make us complete. And there is a promise of reward as we focus, as we move forward, we can look forward and focus on that promise. Revelation 2 says, "Do not fear that you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. For 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Also in Revelation 3, it says, "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and eat with him. He will be with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne." Psalm 34 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." And 2 Corinthians 12 says, "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am made strong." Sorry, I think I jumped ahead there somewhere. I missed the third one, and that was walking by God's promises and standing on God's promises. As we go through life, as we look at the disciples, and as they started to sail across, as Jesus told them to go to the other side, or let's go to the other side, his promise, as he told them to go, then there would be a way, and there was a way prepared for them. And as we go through life, he has promised that he will be there. And there are many promises throughout Scripture. These were only some of them that are listed. But as we look, and as we go through trials, his promise is there, and we focus on his promises to carry us through. First Peter 5 says, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, and strengthen and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever." How much can you trust God and his promises to carry you through? This week, as I was thinking about this, and I heard a story of someone that was sailing, I guess you would call it sailing. They were in a cruise ship, and I guess this cruise ship, I'm not sure where it was taken off out of, but there was two different directions that they could go. They could sail through an area that was protected by trees and banks that would make a smoother ride. However, it was longer. It took longer. Or then you could strike out across the ocean, I guess it was, and of course, any storms would be much rougher. And the captain came across and told the people on the ship. He said that they were getting ready, but they said to be aware that they would encounter some storms, and so there would be a little bit of rough ride. And they headed out across the ocean. Well, they hit this storm, and it was stormy, and it was rough. And this person that was telling the story was the person that didn't like the stormy, rough weather. And after a little, they called up. They said they want to talk to the captain. And they came back on. The person answered the phone and said, "The captain's not available. He's navigating the ship right now." And in a little bit, it called back. And I guess it was a second in command. And they called back to talk to this person. And this person proceeded to tell how they didn't like the ride, and this was not comfortable. And after a little, the second in command, then he said, "Okay, so well, these ships were built with this storm in mind, he's like, and now you need to trust the captain and let him, the captain, take you through the storm. We have scripture, we have the Bible. God had our journey in mind. We are not facing our trials and struggles alone. 1 Peter 5 says, resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Let us stand on those promises and look to God for strength and endurance. 1 John 5:4 says, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? As we look back at the disciples, as they were in the midst of that storm, and they asked that question, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? They began to look on their circumstances instead of the promises of God. Let us stand on the promises of God as we go through the storms of life, and he will carry us through. So in ending, as you look at life, the journey of life, trials will come. We will face trials. We are to expect that. What will your response be as trials come? How will I respond? And then lastly, stand on the promises of God. The devil will try to convince you that God doesn't care. But God does care. Stand on the promises. Read God's promises. Be reminded often of the promises that God has and that he will carry you through. That we may be carried, that we may live faithful. Right, Reuben, do you have a song? Okay. All right, if you will stand and we will pray. Father, this morning we thank you for your promises. Thank you that you are faithful, that you do care. And you see each one of us, our lives. You see what we face, what we're going through, where we're at, each individual one at different times. And God, that we can trust you. We know that you have made a way, that you have prepared a way for us to be faithful. God, I pray that you would give us strength to stand for you. And thank you, God, that you're in our boat, that we can look to you, and you are right there. God, I pray that as we go out into a fallen world, that our light would shine, and that we could, that others could benefit, and that others could see you living in our lives. God, I just pray for each one here today. Pray that you would bless their day, bless their week, and as we go through this week, give us strength to endure and help us to witness to those we come in contact with through this week. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.